Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. Amen. He's so faithful. Man, we just don't realize it. And we have trials and tribulations, difficulties come our way. We think God maybe has forgotten us. The kids are going to go next door, and they're going to have their own class going over there. We believe that God may have not heard our prayers. We believe that God may have somehow forsaken us or left us, or maybe we sinned and God won't answer our prayers. And God has it all under control. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what needs to happen in our life in order to make us more faithful. Praise his holy name. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to continue our study through the Word of God, Matthew chapter 8. We're just going to read the verses and talk about them for a little while and hope they'll be a blessing to you. One of the reasons I like doing this is I get a lot out of it, and it helps me to concentrate a little bit more on what God is saying in his Word with the time frame and with the other things that are going on. Instead of putting together a message just with 3 points, you know, and it's the points that I gathered out of a chapter, and that's always good to do as well. But sometimes I just want to read the whole thing. I want to get a grasp of what God is saying and have him put his points out here and what we need to learn today. So as we just scroll through the scriptures here, we're going to point out some things. So it starts out with chapter 8. If you remember back in chapter 7, he was telling the disciples and those that were there that, you know, we need to bear fruit for God. And there's some that, you know, we will know by their fruit and what they bear in this world and if they're with us or not. And he talks about those that were working for God in God's name, but God said, I never knew you. and that you're to depart from me, that ye that work iniquity. And then he had told us that we need to have our foundation built on him, on the rock, on a solid rock and not on sand, if we're going to make it through the storms of life. And then he begins, starts in verse number 1 here, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now put yourself in this picture, what's going on. We're all about movies and videos and online stuff, and imagine for a little while what's going on here. Jesus was up on the mountain. He was proclaiming the truth of God. He was there most of the day, and now he's coming down, and a leper approaches him. Now, if you're a leper, and there, that verse right before that said there's a great multitude followed him, what do you think happened when that leper walked up? They scattered. And all of a sudden, it's just Jesus and the leper. I mean, that multitude is still around, but they don't want to be close to that leper. They don't want to catch his disease. And it's not just out there all around and just listening. All of a sudden, it turns to just two people. Everybody's watching Jesus, and everybody's watching that leper. Why is he here? What does he want? Can't he just leave us alone? We're trying to get to the master. And Jesus, he tells him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus puts forth his hand. And I'm glad they did that skit today just now, because that's one of the stories with the blind man. He puts his hands on his face. And you realize that in the scriptures that there's times that Jesus, and we're going to see one just in a moment, just speaks a word. And sometimes he actually goes with them. And sometimes, you know, when he's going to raise the dead there, he went with them, and then other times here he actually touches them. Now there is a reason why God does everything he does. And so you see there's a multitude of people around Jesus as he's walking down the mountain, and then this leper comes up and everybody begins to make a path, because no one wants to be near that leper. And so when the leper starts to talk to Jesus, he's obviously close enough that Jesus can touch him. And he's right there, and the whole crowd is watching him, and no one in that crowd would touch that leper. And they're watching what Jesus is going to do. So Jesus could have said, your faith has healed you, go thy way. He's done that before. But he knew everybody was watching to see what was going to happen, and so he purposely touched them and showed them, I'm greater than this leprosy. And not only do I want to heal you, but I want to show this group and this crowd that's around me that I am God and I have control over even the diseases of this world. And he touched him and he was made whole. He said, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And there was another reason why that happened. There's other times that people say, go thy way, and he went home, and then all of a sudden, you know, it came back hours later, like the other lepers, and they walked away, and then one came back and worshiped him, and he said, where are the other nine? They got cleansed as they walked away. This guy got cleansed while he was still standing in front of Jesus. God wanted to make a point to that crowd there. And Jesus said, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded. Why? For a testimony unto them. Jesus was still concerned about reaching the Jews and saying, look, I am not here to break the law, but establish the law and fulfill the law. He is going to do exactly what the scriptures say. When a leper gets healed, there's a process that he has to follow. And God says, go ahead and do that process. Don't break the process. Go ahead and do it so that they can see that you are healed and God did it. He wanted it done the same way the scripture said. And then verse 5, it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. Now, a centurion was a Roman soldier. He wasn't a Jew. And a soldier would never be in the midst of a group of Jews unless he was trying to break them up or kill them or something. But, you know, that was a centurion's job was to be a soldier. And a centurion was a guy that was in charge of 100 soldiers. He was like, you know, the captain of the group. There's no reason for him just to be there in the midst of a crowd of Jews by some mountain. But he came up and he was beseeching him or begging him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, again, why does Jesus do what he does? Why did he decide this time he was going to come and heal him? Because he knew the centurion's faith and heart. And he wanted the people that are still standing around to see another example of what it means to be faithful to God. And he says, I'm going to go with you. And he says, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to a servant, do, and he doeth it. You know, see, when you're a centurion and you're in charge of these men, whatever comes out of that man's mouth, you're going to do. Because he has the authority to command you to do it, and you're going to do it because he said for you to do it. And he was telling Jesus, I know that you're God. And if you're God and you say my servant's healed, he's going to be healed. The elements have to obey you. The spirits have to obey you. This world has to obey you because you're God. You have all authority. And whatever comes out of your mouth is going to be done. That's what he was saying. And that's why it says here, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Because these people that were coming up to him, and those Pharisees and Sadducees and those that are around him that were trying to find fault with him, they had no faith in God. They thought they believed in God, but they had no faith to believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. And that all these miracles, multitudes of miracles that he was doing, was by the hand of God. I mean, even Nicodemus himself in John chapter 3 came by night and said, we know that you're from God because no man can do these miracles that they be sent from God. And he was speaking on behalf of the other scribes and Jews that sent him down there to find out what was going on. They knew, but they didn't want to believe. And this centurion had more faith than all of Israel. All the other people, that he was an outsider. Verse 11 says, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west. He's talking about Gentiles. Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. But the children of the kingdom, talking about the Jews, shall be cast out in outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, he was telling that whole group there, if you don't have faith to believe, you're going to be weeping and gnashing your teeth in hell. But there's going to be people all over the globe, from the east and the west, that are going to be sitting in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, with Isaac, with those that you say is the reason why you're going to heaven, because I'm a child of Abraham. How many times did they tell Jesus that? He's saying these people who are not children of Abraham are going to be sitting with Abraham in the kingdom of heaven, and you're going to miss out. All because you didn't have any faith. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, his mother-in-law, laid and sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. She immediately got busy about the business of God. Now that she felt better, she didn't say, well, I need time to recover. I need to sit here for a little while. Y'all go ahead and make supper. I'm going to sit here for a while. I need to get my thoughts back. No, she immediately got up, started serving God. Verse 16, when the evening was come, this has been all day, and it's already fallen toward nightfall. The evening's coming now. Sun's starting to set. They brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. I mean, there was a multitude of people that came and brought these people to him, and he healed every person that wanted to be healed. Verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken in Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He was just fulfilling prophecy. And now, verse 18 says, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said to him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. It doesn't say what happened to that guy, if he followed him or not, but we know who was in the boat later, and it wasn't him, so I think he gave up. He wanted a better living is why he wanted to follow Christ. He wasn't following Christ because he wanted to be a disciple and just sleep on the ground and everything that Jesus was doing. That really wasn't what he was expecting. And we see another example in 21. It says, and another of his disciples, speaking about those that in that multitude around him, said unto him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Now we can read that and say, well, that's kind of rough. Don't you want to go to a funeral? No, but what Jesus is saying is, if you're going to follow me with all your heart. There shouldn't be anything in this world that keeps you from following me. And this guy was saying, I want to follow you, but I got some other things I got to do first. He didn't really care about going over there and burying them dead and all that. He just wanted to have an excuse that right now, I want to follow you, but right now it is not really that convenient for me. But later on it will be. That's what he was saying. We don't follow Jesus just because we actually have an extra few minutes of our day and we want to just conveniently follow him right now. But later, we got some other things we got to do. So we're not then, Lord. Just when I'm available, I'll follow you. Now, that's not what God wants in his disciples. He wants us all to follow him all the time, every day, be faithful to follow him and not allow the things of this world to distract us from following him. Then he leaves that set up and he says, and then when they entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. I bet he had a long day. And his disciples came to him and awoke him and said, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said to them, why are ye fearful? O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now he was, think back last chapter or so, he was, we went up on a mountain. He started telling people what, first of all, it starts off with what we, some people call the Beatitudes, or blessed is he, and, but it's really not that. But he says that a lot of times. And then he gives the word out to all the people, and he begins to tell them some parables, and begins to tell them how they need to live for him. He comes down a mountain. He heals every person that is brought to him. He casts out evil spirits from every person that's possessed. He heals that centurion's servant just by his words. He touches the leper, and he's immediately cleansed. His disciples and all those around him are watching this every day. Not just one time. I mean, we would be amazed if somebody here was immediately healed by God. We'd all be amazed by that one thing. They've seen this hundreds of times. They had to have known that there is something different about Jesus. I mean, why didn't it dawn on them that this is truly the Son of God? This is God Himself, and God can do anything. And I believe it's because we can look and read and see and think we believe everything God has said and done until the storms arise in our life. And that's when we're truly tested. That's when our faith is tested. That's why he says, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Through all that they saw, they still really didn't understand who Jesus was. And God was training them even now to be ready for when he departed, they were going to preach the gospel throughout the whole world. About Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the world, they were going to have power to go out and do mighty things of God. And they did later. But God was preparing them now for the future. And we'll go through the storms and difficulties of life because we may think that we have enough faith to believe God and trust in God and everything until those storms arise. And then it's a different story. And then we actually have to go through that storm believing what we've always said we believe. And God allows us to make it through that storm to the other side because he's always going to calm the storm down, that we can see and as we look back and see what God done for us and said, man, if he did it then, he can do it again. And our faith begins to grow. And our faith begins to change. And we get less fearful. And he says in here in verse 28, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gerasenes, or whatever how you pronounce that, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, that no man might pass by that way. Now, there's, if you go back in another scripture, it says there's one man here that says two possessed with devil. That doesn't mean the word of God is contradictory. It just means that's the way they saw it. And I personally believe, based on things I've seen in other countries and other things going on, that this man definitely could have had two heads. He could have been physically deformed, where when you look at somebody that has an, you know, extra head or arm, you've seen those guys on in the documentaries and stuff, and they get the deformed, and you're thinking, well, is that one person or is that two people? You know, it just depends on how you see it. It might be. You could say it's two, because you ever seen twins that are conjoined? There's two of them, but there's just one body. And so when you look at things like this, don't think that, well, something's wrong with the scripture. Just think that's the way this person saw it, and the other person saw it a different way. But the point of it is that there was a man there that was possessed with so many demons that no one would pass that way. You didn't go that way. And it says he come out of tombs exceedingly fierce that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Or art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Now, you have to go to Revelation to figure out what he's talking about there. But the evil spirits realize that their time on this earth is limited. And they know that that time is short, just like Satan does. And they know what's going to happen. And they were asking God, are you come? Is this now? Are you starting now? Is it time? And he said there, and there, it says, was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Now, I can't read this story without telling you what I always say, that those swine committed suicide. They did a swine dive right off of that cliff. Amen. That's right. That's right. And then it says, and they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city. Now, you know, obviously, there were, you know, we know that there was about, it had to be, you know, somewhere around a couple of thousand swine out there. Why Jews were keeping swine, I don't know, but it was just for profit, and they weren't. Definitely weren't keeping the law of God, and when these servants saw what happened, they didn't want to be blamed for losing all the swine. That was a lot of money, so they fled. They went back to the city and told them everything that happened. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. But all your swine are dead. And so he told them what befallen them and what happened to the one that was possessed with the devil. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. They never seen anything like this. And here's the two reactions that you get from people. Here's the first one. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Sometimes when people see Jesus, they don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. You present Jesus to them, and there's going to be some that will never accept Jesus. They're going to reject Jesus for whatever reason. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They want Jesus to depart from them. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus or his gospel or his way. Praise God, you'll find out later. He goes back after the man that was healed tells the whole city about what happened to him, and they see the miracles of God. It starts changing some hearts. And he goes back a second time, and people come out to meet him. This time they're meeting him because they want him. They need him. And that he changed their attitude. At least some of them did. And so you have those that, when you present Jesus to them, they may reject Jesus. They're not rejecting you just because you gave them the gospel. They're, you know, that you're the messenger. And so never take that personal, because they're not rejecting you, rejecting Jesus. They don't like Jesus. They don't want Jesus. They know Jesus is going to cost them something. I had people say, you know, I would become a believer and a Christian, but there's some things I don't want to give up. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Sorry it's to be such an inconvenience. But people really believe that. But there are some that when they're present with Christ again, they'll turn their heart and they'll believe. Jesus was teaching many people many things in all this scripture. He was showing the leper, I have power to heal you, and because you believe, you're going to be healed. He was telling the crowd, God can do anything. He was telling the centurion, you know, you have faith greater than all the people in Israel. And he was telling the people listening, you have no faith to believe like this man does, and he's not even a Jew. He's telling his disciples, if you just had a little faith, you wouldn't be fearful. These things wouldn't bother you in life. I'm right here with you. And yet, you still don't understand. And Jesus is with us every day of our life. He promises he'll never leave us or forsake us. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And yet, we allow this world to keep us fearful. And there's nothing that God cannot do. God just wants us to have a little bit more faith and belief, and know that everything's all right in my Father's house. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a few moments as we have invitation time. Whatever God has may have been speaking to your heart about, I want to give you an opportunity to pray about it and ask God to help you. As always, in our church, you'll stand with me when the altars are open, and you can come pray anytime. But we want to just mention a few things for those here and those online that maybe there's an opportunity here for you to draw closer to God. If you ever had any doubt in your life that if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Have you ever thought about it? Do you know for sure where you would spend eternity? It's very simple. The Bible tells us that if we just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved. All we have to do is call upon the Lord and ask Him to save us, and we'll be forgiven. And we'll be with Abraham and Isaac and all those in heaven forever and ever, only because of the sacrifice Jesus made for us. Maybe you're here and you know you're saved, you're a child of God, but maybe God's been talking to your heart about something. Maybe you're going through some storms right now, some difficulties. Like we sang earlier, God is good. God is always good. And just because we're having bad times doesn't mean God's bad. It means He's still good. God's still good even in the bad times. But sometimes we go through those bad times because God's trying to increase our faith. Whatever it may be, just let God have His way. Maybe you just come pray and ask God to help you have more faith, be more faithful into the things He called you to do. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the time we have here today. I ask that You'll bless us, forgive us, help us, Lord, to be more like You every day. And change hearts, Lord, that we may be more in Your image every single day. We want to be closer to You. We want to be drawn closer to You, Lord. We want a better relationship with You. But we know it's going to take some change on our part. And thank You, Lord, for loving us so much that You're willing to do that for us. And we ask, Father, to just give us strength, courage, and faithfulness as we go through the storms of life, that we can come out on the other end closer, drawn to You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever the need is, let God have His way. Just for a few moments, let's pray together.